Oh, I hear that old school bell, and I know what that means that I need to do. I need to grab my Bible and run and take my seat. And so that's what you ought to do. Get your Bible, pull up a chair, turn up your radio, and become a student in the Warren County Radio Bible School. As I'm making this program, this recording that's going to be played later, I know there's a lot of discussion about whether the schools should open or not. Should the children come to school and be taught by their teacher? Or they're going to continue some kind of remote learning at home where the parents are going to be at home with the parents like this. And some people think, well, the parents can't take care of their children. And while I am somewhat in favor of schools being opened and such, I think it's a sad commentary on our society to say that parents can't take care of their children. Of course parents can do this. But there's so many children now that are in really dysfunctional homes. Maybe they only have one parent, and so there's no one to go out and to earn the living to provide for the physical necessities of that home should a parent leave. You know, we could handle this whole crisis a whole lot better if our homes were molded after God's plan, where the husband and the father took care of the home and the mother took care of the children. And so much of our problems would be much easier to handle. We've got so many children now that are born out of wedlock or due to divorce or some other reason that there's no one but one parent trying to look after them, and they've got to go to work, and a lot of these parents are simply left home alone. And that is so tragic. I'll tell you, when we try to come up with alternative ways to do things, we wind up with problems we did not expect. And the best way is always to plan and prepare and to do things after God's pattern and God's way. And so that's what we're trying to teach and promote as we have this radio Bible school. The Warren County Radio Bible School will not be closed due to any virus, because you're not going to be able to catch a virus listening to the radio. And so get your Bible and be prepared to see what we can learn. Now, the Bible, you'll want to turn to your Bible to two places. One of them is Luke chapter 24, and the other one is Isaiah chapter 53. And we'll be looking at both of those texts here in just a minute. The text in Isaiah 53 is a devotional reading. And while you're turning there, I'll remind you that the Warren County Radio Bible School is brought to you by the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. Our meeting house is located between McMinnville and Biola at the foot of Ben Lomond Mountain, just across from Mount Zion Road. We have Sunday Bible study at 9 a.m., followed by worship at 10 a.m., Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m., and all are welcome to all of our services. We are meeting in the building, but we also have a little radio transmitter set up that will send out a weak signal, but it's strong enough to cover the parking lot. And so for those that don't feel comfortable attending in the building itself at this time, they can drive in, tune to the radio, and you'll see the radio station on the sign, 100.3, and then from the parking lot you can listen to the service that is going on within the building. And we'll make sure we come by to make sure you have the Lord's Supper if you come to us on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening. And we do this for all of our classes and all of our assemblies. But now let's get to our text. I want to read to you this prophecy from the book of Isaiah. It is Isaiah chapter 53. And we'll do this in preparation for the study that we're about to take on the event that occurred following the resurrection of Christ. But let me read this now from Isaiah 53 and hear what the prophet had said long ago. It's one of the most beautiful and well-known of the prophecies of Isaiah. It goes like this. Who hath believed our message? And to whom hath the arm of Jehovah been revealed? For he grew up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected of man, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their face, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And we all, like sheep, have gone astray, and have turned every one to his own way. And Jehovah hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Isaiah 53 and verse 7, he was oppressed, yet when he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth. As a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and as a sheep that before his shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away. And as for his generation, who among them shall consider that he was cut off out of the land of the living for the transgression of my people, to the whom the stroke was due? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, neither was there any deceit in his mouth. Isaiah 53 and verse 10. Yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed and prolong his days, and the pleasure of Jehovah shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By the knowledge of himself shall my righteous servant justify many, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul unto death, and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Beautiful passage, isn't it, about the suffering servant, that suffering Messiah that would come, and yet there would be a reward at the end of all his suffering, and that reward would follow and come in keeping with his resurrection. The golden text for this lesson on the walk to Emmaus is Luke chapter 24, verses 5 and 6, where it says, "Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen." Now, I want to say at this time that this Sunday school lesson that we're studying was written for April 1st of 1923. And this particular year, that happened to be the Sunday that we commonly call Easter Sunday. And it seems that these lessons were organized in such a way that a lesson on the resurrection would fall on this Easter Sunday. And our writer of the Sunday school lessons, E.A. Elam, had something to say about that. Here's a little piece he wrote called "Easter Again" for this lesson. And here's what he said. "Every year an Easter lesson is given, and every year we have to say, there are no Easter lessons, no Easter services, no Easter Sundays mentioned in the Bible." Acts 12 and verse 4 in the King James Version mentions Easter, saying that King Herod intended after Easter to bring Peter forth to the people. But the third verse says, "Then were the days of unleavened bread." So this time called Easter by the King James Version was simply the Jewish Passover, and not at all the observance of a church day. The church was never commanded to observe the days of unleavened bread or the Passover. Never. The Revised Version very properly says in Acts chapter 12 and verse 4, Herod intended after Passover to kill Peter. There are no such days and observances in the New Testament as Ash Wednesday or Lent or Easter? Why not observe that which God commands to be observed, and leave off all observances of doctrines and commandments of men? Referring all to such, Jesus said, "But in vain do they worship me, teaching as their doctrines the precepts of men," Mark chapter 7 and verse 7. Every Lord's Day, every first day of the week, is a celebration of the resurrection of Jesus. God teaches His people to meet on this day, upon one as much as another through the year, to observe the Lord's Supper in order to remember the Lord's body and the blood, and to proclaim His death until He come. We read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 through 26. Paul wrote, "For I received of the Lord that which I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread, and when He had given thanks, He brake it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. This do in remembrance of me.' In like manner also after the cup, saying, 'This is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He come.'" Again, it is declared that eating the bread is a communion or a participation in the body of Christ. And the cup of blessing is a communion or in participation in the blood of Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 through 22, we read, "Wherefore, my beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men. Judge ye what I say. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion of the blood of Christ? And the bread which we break, is it not a communion of the body of Christ? Seeing that we who are many are one bread, one body, for we all partake of the one bread. Behold, Israel after the flesh, have not they that eat the sacrifices in communion with the altar? What say I then? That a thing sacrificed to idols is anything, or an idol is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I would not that ye should have communion with demons. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. Ye cannot partake of the table of the Lord and of the table of demons. Or do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He?" On the other hand, God forbids His people from forsaking their own assembling together, as the custom of some is, as we read in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. So not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, the weekly assembly is when we come together to remember the death and the burial of Jesus, His shed blood and His suffering in that flesh. And we do that when we partake of the Lord's Supper. And of course, upon meeting of the first day of the week, we are there in recognition of the fact that He arose on the first day of the week. Now that's what God wanted us to do. Why, then, should any people who claim to love and honor God forsake that which He has appointed and observe something He never appointed? You know, there are some people that the only time they come to the worship is at Easter, as though if they come that one year, they stay in touch and they think they're pleasing God in that manner. But God wants us to come together on the first day of every week. And it's a great encouragement when others come together and gather with us and partake of this precious memorial meal. You know, sometimes human customs take precedent over the things the Bible says, and people become more wedded to their customs and their traditions than they do the things that the apostles taught and in keeping His commandments. Well, I want you to come by whenever you can to the Church of Christ at Rock Cliff. We are determined to try to worship God after the Old New Testament pattern. So we'll gather together on Sunday morning, and we'll partake of the Lord's Supper in that ancient way, with the unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine, to remember the body and the blood of Christ, and how that suffering Messiah wrought our salvation.